Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 10 p. on the West Coast, 1 a. on the East Coast. We've gone to an earlier time, and if you're a longtime Phil Hendry fan, and you found us, but other fans of ours you know of, but they're walking in the darkness, let them know that we've moved to a earlier time, 7 to 10 Pacific, 10 to 1 Eastern. And again, many thanks to our affiliates and our audience and our advertisers. New affiliate on board this week, KSTE Sacramento. We're very, very grateful and happy to be back on in Sacramento. And some other huge, huge announcements to be making here very soon. A reminder as well about our website, philhendryshow.com, which is the, we talk an awful lot about it because the digital age is upon us, ladies and gentlemen, and whether we like it or not, it's here, and there's a lot of opportunity for consumers, for listeners of radio shows, at least we think, because we're able to make our show available to you, not just via our radio broadcast, but as well digitally online, full shows, all 3 hours, every single solitary show we've done for the last, 15 years, let's say. And all there, as well as a video cast, as well as a podcast of The Daily Show and our archive podcast, a classic podcast, a lot of stuff to be had at philhendryshow.com. We have an online store, and we have a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts. We got Phil Hendry Show mugs and hats. So, you can, what, bud?
Yeah, kind of get the whole Phil Hendry experience and everything.
Yeah.
All right, so you can groove to the Phil Hendry experience if that's what you... Can I say something? Yeah, go ahead. There is a series of downloads, the Margaret Gray downloads, are there not?
No, there are not. There's only Bobby Dooley and Ted Bell.
All right.
But Margaret, we'll get to that, okay?
Oh, yeah, you'll get to it. You do that. You go ahead, you do that, Caballero. You get to it.
Don't worry about it. We'll get to it. The Phil Hendry Show website, Phil Hendry Show. .com. Vernon Dozier was on with us in the final segment there of last hour, and I promised him a little bit more airtime. Not necessarily, though, Vernon, about the serious situation, huh?
Thank you very much, Phil, for putting me on your program. I don't really feel like, jawjacking that too much anymore, because I think the liberals are going to eat themselves. I think if you've ever seen the only thing about that zombie fad that I enjoy is when I see the Walking Dead, I imagine them as all of the progressives and liberals in this country eating each other's you-know-what and eating each other a new one. And I just laugh because that's what's happening to progressives right now. And I think it's emblematic of that is the Syria debate. You've got on the one side the Dean Wheeler, but don't get me wrong, Dean Wheeler doesn't sound to me like a man who has the courage to. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say this, but he just doesn't sound like a very courageous man.
Are you saying that because he sounds a bit fey, or he may sound effeminate? Is that it?
I did not use that word, ma'am.
But no, but I know full well what you're referring to. Is that it?
I'm saying...
Because his point of view is decidedly more aggressive. He thinks that progressives need to go to the offensive and need to share in the battle, whereas the other Jack Armstrong doesn't.
Well, and I'm not a big fan of Jack Armstrong. He sounds like an insular foreigner, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, what does that mean, an insular foreigner?
What it means is he sounds like a guy that doesn't come from here. He wants to be an American and wants to pretend like he's an American, but he's got an accent that sounds like he just got off a banana boat. I'm sorry.
That's not necessary, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, but these people that...
These people?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, Ms. Gray, if I can get out my point here.
Margaret, you know, it's his segment.
Oh, it's his segment. I was continually last hour...
I don't think anyone kept her from saying anything.
Her?
Can everybody be a little less petty here? Because we're not referring to you as Margaret, and we refer to you as her, because we're not saying these people instead of you people. Can we just be less petty? Can we just move along the line of thought that we're on instead of everybody taking offense at every bloody thing that is being said on this show?
Hey, finally said it.
There you go, Mr. Everett, that's good. Thank you.
Oh, shut up.
All right. Now, your point, Margaret?
My point is simply this. I think it's offensive for him to say that Mr. Wheeler sounds effeminate.
I'm just telling you that for a guy who sounds like he couldn't pick up a can of Raid against an ant. You know, as I've often said, I'm a volcano surrounded by ants because of my, you know, I feel frustrated because I've got so much to say. And I have to come on the Phil Henry Show and say it because I've got a classroom full of kids, high school students, that are playing grab A and they're grabbing each other's rear end and throwing spit wads and while I'm trying to tell them what's going on with the world as it's going right down the chute. And so I come on this program to be taken seriously. And I've got the radio equivalent of you people playing, I'll say it, you people playing grab ass.
We're not playing any grab ass around here. We may not be agreeing with you, but it isn't grab ass, all right?
So to you, this program is just a bunch of people chasing each other in a parking lot after hours.
That's exactly right. When I come on the Phil Henry Show, I might as well be on with a bunch of people playing grab ass in a parking lot after the Denny's is closed. For all the good it does me.
You know what? This show isn't on for your benefit.
Well, no, I know that. I'm wondering whose benefit.
Who's? You don't even talk good. You shouldn't criticize Mr. Henry.
We'll talk a lot better than you do, man. Talk a lot way better than you do, Mr. Platehead. You know, so.
All right, well, enough of the insults, Vernon. And Margaret, let's just get to your point here, which is that the progressive point of view is now a, there's a civil war going on.
Absolutely, there's a civil war. And it reminds me of Walking Dead. And as far as I'm concerned, the progressives are zombies and they're eating each other a new one.
That's the part that offends me. I don't mind that you say the progressives are perhaps consuming each other, but when you keep saying eating each other a new one, I know exactly, my mind...
And that's where your mind goes, you know.
If your mind goes there...
Anyone's mind would go there, and it is not a very appealing sight of zombies giving each...
What are you laughing at, bud?
Nothing.
Look, I'm not laughing. I hear exactly what she's saying. She's bringing up the image of zombies giving each other a... It starts with an R.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm not going any further than that.
All right, so zombies are performing a particularly disgusting sex act on each other.
No, I didn't say... When he says they're eating each other...
Would you people please?
Phil, this is a program I will only partake in if it's adult in nature, so I will call these things out.
All I said was the progressives are like a bunch of ghouls that have... There are a lot of walking ghouls that have not been killed yet because they're walking around.
Yes.
Well, I... And they're eating...
They're eating each other. Can we just end it with that instead of eating each other anew?
I guess. I'm only...
What do you mean you guess? Mr. Henry just laid it out for you.
Oh, well, okay, Einstein. Thanks a lot.
All right, well, we're going to break here and try to get back on track yet again. One of the problems we have is you big mouths right here.
Oh, I see. We're the problem.
Yes, you're the problem. You big mouths jump in and everything gets confused. The whole purpose of having a panel is to have you guys clarify, to have you guys pick up on a point that might need a little bit of expanding upon and to help us do that. But instead, you take it off into weird land, eating each other. Oh, that's a sex act between zombies. Unbelievable that we get... I think his point is a very good point, this so-called civil war. Among, you know, a civil war among progressives. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Back with Vernon Dozier. And actually, he's on to talk about, believe it or not, baseball. And we'll try to get into that when we come back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Father James McQuarters is checking in here. And again, I apologize if there has been anything said that bespeaks vulgarity. We don't want to do that on the show. It was an unfortunate phrase that we used by Vernon Dozier, and I simply want to give the father his due. He wants to talk. Father McQuarters has been on our program any number of times talking about different theologic and moral issues. He's a good man, and he's constantly giving us, I suppose, some balance on the program. Father James McQuarters. Father McQuarters, my apologies, first of all, to you, sir.
Well, Phil, I I'm not calling your program to say anything other than I have always expected from your program. The very uplifting conversation and kinds of conversation I think that all families couldn't listen to.
I understand.
And so you understand what when I tuned in and Father Staley and I were coming back from doing our novena there for Mrs. Wharton, who had passed on this past weekend, and she was a wonderful woman, that we heard this man, Mr. Dozier, saying the things that he said. Now, do you have him there?
Vernon, Father McQuarters is on the line. I know you know him very well from Belmar Academy.
Father McQuarters, this is Vernon Dozier.
Vernon, how are you?
I'm good, Father.
And Vernon, my point of view, you're over at the carnival at St. Parvins, is that right?
Yes, we're at St. Parvins raising money to put the new facade on the church, because I don't know if you know this or not, Phil. Should I go into the story, Father?
You can go very briefly into the story, but the reason why I called is to ask you about this reference that you made with regard to the Walking Dead, and of course, as Phil said, the entire conversation was supposed to be about the progressive movement.
Yeah, that is correct, Father, and I will apologize up front. I'll tell you what it was, but first, we're at St. Parvin's, Phil, because there is no St. Parvin. There is no such person as St. Parvin. Someone named this church, and for the last 21 years, it's been called St. Parvin. Now, there was research done, and even to the point where two people from the parish were sent back to the Vatican and did their own ecclesiastical research. They had access to the ecclesiastical library, to the Vatican library, and nowhere is there a St. Parvin, P-A-R-V-I-N. They looked at St. Marvin. They couldn't find any, so they have to rename the church.
Well, why was it called St. Parvin?
We think it's because someone wanted to start a Catholic church and wanted to call it a saint's name, and they were all taken, and so they came up with some Mickey Mouse name like this. I don't know.
I don't know the St. Parvin. It's a name that might have been created by someone who had been drinking too much, but that was the name they gave it. And I agree with Vernon that it should be changed. I wonder if Vernon, not to make a too light a point here, but I wonder if they're trying to call it St. Vernon. Do you know if there's a St. Vernon?
I do not know if there's a St. Vernon. That would be interesting to look up.
Well, I did one day. I looked up to see if there's a St. Vernon. I tried to find if there was a St. St. Giselle or different names. I've not found a St. Vernon yet. But the name Vernon is a primarily African-American. You know that?
Yeah, I know that.
You see, Vernon, you can't be that way in life.
I already know that the name Vernon is primarily a black man's name.
All right, and what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that, Vernon?
What's wrong with that, Vernon?
Never mind. You see, Mr. Henry,
I think that you have to look into your soul about that, Vernon, and I would like you to come to reconciliation about that. Because if you're having a hard time with your name being Vernon, there might be a racist thought.
There is no racism inside of me, Father. There's none whatsoever. You see, I grew up, and I was a young man that they tried to weaken. My mother tried to weaken me. My father tried to weaken me. But I would not let them do that to me. And they gave me the name Vernon because they were hoping that I would come screaming home to mommy if people gave me a hard time, you see.
I understand that.
They were hoping that I would come screaming home to my daddy if people... I don't do that. A lot of people do. A lot of people can't take it. You give me the name Vernon, you give me the name Leon, you give me the name Herb. Go ahead, you give me the name Lionel. Go ahead, give it to me, I don't care. I'm white, and I will gladly take on those names. Because I don't have to go running home to Mommy, because I happen to have a name that sounds like I'm a member of the Four Tops. You see what I'm saying?
Vernon, I think the very thing you're saying there bespeaks of racism.
Yeah, what is your problem, man? You got the name Vernon. It may sound like a black guy's name. So what?
That's exactly what I say. When my mother looks at me and my father looks at me and says, "Hey, Vernon," and I say to my father, "You think I'm going to come home and go,
Daddy, how come I have to be Daddy?"
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. That pisses my father off. Excuse my language, Father.
Well, to the point that can we get to the point that we're here to talk about?
Yeah, let's please do, because you used the term walking. You were talking about The Walking Dead, Vernon.
I was talking about the TV program, The Walking Dead, yes, Father. and I said that the liberals and progressives were like a horde of zombies that were going to eat each other a new one.
That was the problem, as phone call was made to me. Is Margaret there?
Yes, Father, I'm right here.
Margaret Gray called me. When Margaret called, she was very distressed, and she said that she was on the program right now with you, and you talked about zombies with their faces pressed into each other's, you know, and...
Well, that's not what I meant. What I meant, when I say eat each other a new one, I'm just, it's an old term that means, you know, mess each other up.
There's no doubt that a zombie's going to mess you up. A zombie, as we've seen in the zombie movies, Father Steely's made up. You like those zombies, right, Father Steely?
Yeah.
And I that's fine. But I'd simply say to you, Vernon, that when you use a term like that, it bespeaks a kind of carnality and a debased sexual activity that I don't think we want to expose children to.
I understand that, Father. I didn't think there was any problem because I was talking about zombies. I was talking about zombies eating each other a new one, and I wasn't even thinking of the sex act.
Yeah, see, that's my point. I wasn't either until a great exception was taken by you, Margaret.
Well, Phil, don't hang this on me because I am the moral arbiter of this program because I have to be the individual who is looking after this program. Don't hang it on me.
Well, but it could have very easily have just been passed by. We didn't have to get into a big song and a dance about it, is all I'm saying.
Well, I don't know that I agree with you, Phil. I don't know.
Why not?
Because I think that, to the most part, you're talking about zombies, I know that. You're talking about the Walking Dead, I know that. But you're still talking about, even if they're ghouls, you're talking about them dropping down and performing a sex act on each other, eating each other's you-know-whats.
Yeah, they're eating each other in a dirty place.
But I didn't...
Yeah, see, this is where this has gone.
Can't blame me. I mean, I...
And you can't blame me either. Margaret's the one that called in. You know...
Oh, well, this is where it's gone, so thanks very much.
Oh, grow up, Phil. I called the father because I was having a moral quandary.
What is everybody getting mad for?
Because you're a little capper there, man.
Dirty place.
Yeah, you're laughing about it, Mr. Henry.
Let the record show that Phil's laughing.
How can I not laugh? Yeah, you're talking about... We're talking about progressives. We're talking about something political. How did it get down... How did it devolve to the point of zombies eating each other's... You know? Oh, man.
And the more you laugh, the more credulity... Credulity, that's a word, look it up. The more credulity you lend... Okay, Phil?
Yes, yes, credulity.
What's that mean?
Believability.
Hey, get the big brain on Phil.
All right, so what?
The point is, the more you laugh at it, the more credulity and credibility... Actually, credulity does not mean believability. Credulity means your ability to believe something. It's even more specific. And you give the credulity, which means you believe that zombies...
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Henry, that you believe that zombies got the faces planted.
Okay, so that's what I believe. I've never seen the show, not much, but I believe that zombies have their faces planted. Jesus.
Well...
Yeah. We'll be back with more on the on what it is that this guy wants to talk about, which is baseball. That's what we want to talk about. And one of the issues that we want to talk about is apparently the Anaheim... You know that the Anaheim Angels, their real name is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
It's not the other way around.
No, it's Los Angeles Angels. I was just thinking about that.
Not the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles.
No, it is not the... It's the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. But there's been, down through the years, the most... In my opinion, the most asinine... debate and changing of names and this just sort of ridiculous controversy over the Anaheim Angels, folks. This is a local baseball team here in the Southern California, you know. They were the LA Angels. Then they became the California Angels. Then they became the Anaheim Angels. Then they became the LA Angels of Anaheim. And I suppose the entire thing has been, I don't know what you would call it. The entire thing has been kept alive by the city of Anaheim, wanting the name of their city on any team that calls home their city, especially any team that calls home their city that they have contributed dollar bills to. And in the refurbishing there of Anaheim Stadium into Angel Stadium, that is exactly what has happened. So Vernon Dozier will be back to talk about that with us and more. Your phone calls at 855-507-445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, I'm talking about credulity. Credulity.
Oh, brother.
I'm just saying, these zombies have got a mouthful.
It's the Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico each and every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And our radio show is devoted to just one goal and one goal only. Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
All right, we have with us here Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Vernon is an educator, is a longtime contributor to our program, and is at the St. Parvin Renaming Festival. Which I don't think I've ever heard of any event such as this. It's, Vernon, an event whereby they're trying to raise money to change the facade of the church to get a new name for the church because St. Parvin doesn't exist.
In a nutshell, yeah, Phil, that's exactly right. St. Parvin, there's no St. Parvin, and they don't know. And I thought Father McQuarters, he was very cute, and he said, well, why don't they name it St. Vernon? And I said, I would be very grateful. And then somebody made the joke about there's no black saints.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't mean nothing by it.
Yeah, but you see, that means that the name Vernon only black people have and me. So that means all black men and Vernon Dozier. And I have no problem with that, but why? Why would you say that?
Let's forget that, shall we?
I can't just stand it that way.
Yeah, but why would it be all black guys and then me?
Let's forget about that. It's the way Bud is, okay?
No black saints.
Well, is there a Saint Herbert?
Never mind, will you, Bud, before I throw your ass, not just out of the studio, before I throw your ass onto a freeway in the fast lane...
That'd be hit.
There you go. You would be, wouldn't you?
Then I probably would die.
There's number two he got right.
You're pretty sharp tonight, bud.
Just cool it. All right, Vernon Dozier joining us. And so St. Parvin, all right, we'll get off of that.
And you know something? There may very well be some black saints. In fact, I bet you there are black saints. There's no African-American saints, if that's the point you're making.
Yeah, because there's no St. Leon.
Mr. Hendry, I will not continue.
If you don't shut up, bud, I swear I'm going to give you this left hand right into the chin, man. Boom, you'll be out. Just like that.
I don't know why you put up with it. St. Leon, what does that mean? So everyone... I don't know.
All right. Vernon, thank you for being with us. Enough of St. Parvin's. Let's talk about why you're on the program here tonight.
Well, the reason why I came on originally, Phil, and I thank you very much, and thank you, Margaret, and yes, even you, bud, thank you for... Welcome, and you, Robert, thank you very much. The Los Angeles Angels...
Well, you're very welcome, sir.
You're more than welcome for saying you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I didn't say anything to you, did I?
Okay, stop.
I'm trying to stop, Phil.
Go ahead.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim would have the freedom to throw out the last two words of that long moniker under the terms of a deal before the Anaheim City Council on Tuesday night. Now, that is before the Anaheim City Council. At issue is the baseball team's lease on a 47-year-old Angel... it's lease on a 47-year-old Angel Stadium, which runs through 2029, but could be terminated by the team as soon as 2016. The council will decide, will consider a deal that will, in part, delay the team's option to leave Anaheim until 12...
2019, I think, is what it says.
You're right, 2019. The delay would allow the two sides to come to an agreement that could keep the team in Orange County until 2057. Now, I want you to consider that year, 2057. I want all of the listeners out there to consider the year 2057. Phil, I know you were born in the year 1952.
Yes, I was.
Right, that would make you, if you, if God willing, Phil, you'd be 105 years old.
Which I, that would be great, but I don't anticipate it.
Yeah, so you'd be gone before the Angels left Orange County under this new deal. Now, part of the deal would allow the team to have absolute control and exclusive rights of its name, which could result in a name change to simply the LA Angels. The Angels want to be called the Los Angeles Angels because it's a far more popular name. There's more people in Los Angeles than there are in Anaheim. There's more people in Los Angeles and more people to buy merchandise, more people to identify with the team than there are in Anaheim. And I have long said this. I have long been a proponent of having names on teams that are big names, that are the big city names, and let's get rid of these small city names. Most of the problem, Phil, is in the NBA, where you have teams like the Orlando Magic. Now, I know Orlando is a city that houses a great many features and fun, but the name Orlando itself is not anything. It's just so small town that I have a hard time watching an NBA final between, say, the L.A. Lakers and the Orlando.
But what are you going to call a team like that?
I think you have to call it Miami or Florida. You have to give it a name that's a big name. If people are going to say, that's a team that I want to be all over, you know.
What about the Green Bay Packers?
All right, now the Green Bay Packers, that's a good point.
That's a very good point, yeah.
The Green Bay Packers would be far better. They're very popular. There's no question the Green Bay Packers are popular. But think of how much more popular they'd be if they were identified with a larger market like the Milwaukee Packers. Milwaukee is just only 90 miles away. And it boggles the imagination why it is the people that named that team and the people that are responsible for that football team's financial well-being, why it is that year in and year out they didn't take the opportunity with the fan base that the Green Bay Packers have to give it an even bigger fan base and give it and put it in the Milwaukee Packers, see?
But doesn't that, first of all, let me ask you a question. The Green Bay Packer fan base is a fan base that's truly international. Don't you agree? I mean,
well, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is the fan base of the Green Bay Packers is not in Green Bay, Wisconsin alone. I mean, if it was, they wouldn't be able to, at least in terms of, for instance, merchandise, they wouldn't be able to survive, and they sure wouldn't be able to survive in terms of I guess they'd survive because they have the TV deal with the NFL, but they wouldn't have the merchandising money or the notoriety. You know, I think don't you think the name Green Bay is a boutique name? Don't you think it's a name that has great value?
I don't know what you mean by boutique.
Well, what Phil is saying, Vernon, the name Green Bay Packers is almost like Brooklyn Dodgers. It's there's a historic and boutique value, a signature value to that name.
Well, I think you get all of that clever talk is all well and good, but I'm talking about money, okay? Money. You know, that's what I'm about. I'm not about just living for money, but I do believe that money is where it's at.
No, I do too. If you take the name Green Bay Packers away from the Green Bay Packers and you call them instead the Milwaukee Packers, I think it shrinks the fan base.
See, I don't get that. Where are you people coming from? Milwaukee is 50 times bigger. I don't know how much bigger it is than Green Bay, but it's a gigantic compared to Green Bay.
But, I mean, people like the name Green Bay Packers.
People like the name Green Bay Packers, but if it's the Milwaukee Packers, you don't get it. What I'm talking about is get rid of the small-town names. Now, you got the Anaheim Angels. That's going to that will commit homicide to the future of the Angels. Let's just call them the Angels, because nobody wants to call them Anaheim. Nobody wants to call them L.A. They were called the California Angels. A lot of good that did. The California Angels, by the way, folks, for those of you who don't know, that was the most embarrassing period in the history of the Angel franchise. They wore pajama bottoms, and I'm not saying literally, but they wore those outfits with the elastic waistband. They looked asinine. They looked as if they were in a circus. It was embarrassing.
You're a longtime Angel fan, right?
I am I've loved the Angels since they started in L.A.
Even though you're a resident of L.A. County, because I think a lot of people think or believe that the Angels, primarily their fan base, is Orange County?
Well, no, the Angels started in Los Angeles. They started at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles. They started the old L.A. Wrigley Field that was owned by the Wrigley family, and at one time I think might have even had some spring training for the Cubs. And that's where they played. And then Gene Autry, who was a great cowboy and a great cowboy singer, but what he knew about baseball, you could stick in a can. And I loved Gene Autry. I thought Gene Autry was a great man, and anybody who worked for Gene Autry loved him. But Gene Autry was a guy riding on a horse with a guitar, and you wanted to cry because you'd say, I'm an Angel fan, and the owner is someone that's sitting around a campfire, and you see what I'm saying?
And not literally sitting around a campfire.
Well, what do you mean, literally?
Gene Autry was a cowboy in movies.
I know he was a cowboy in movies. I know that, but I'm saying his sensibility. Don't you think that that guy... Phil, have you been to the Western Museum out in Palm Springs?
No, I have not.
That's a Gene Autry. And the guy owned a baseball team, and he's sitting on his can under the big, you know, canopy of sky, drinking that coffee they drink. You don't understand, do you?
You seem to think that Gene Autry was living the very life that he was singing.
What? What are you...
You seem to think that Gene Autry... I'm an old cowhand on the Rio Grande, all that stuff?
Yeah.
But no, man. He was a multimillionaire. He was a movie star. He was a very accomplished man. He was a very smart guy with his dough. He bought TV stations. He bought radio stations. He bought a baseball team. He had a lot of money, and he held on to that team for many, many years, and they loved him. You're right. Gene Autry was beloved of his players, of his employees, of the fans. And what is this thing about sitting on his ass around a campfire?
That's what the guy was singing about. What do you, I don't know. But he's talking about, you know, get along, little doggy, and all that. And you want to say to the guy, hey, you know, I tell you what you do, Tex. You go on, sit over there, have yourself a can of beans, and let somebody else run this show. Because he might have been beloved of his players, but the team stunk. It stunk like something that dropped out of one of those horses that Gene Autry was riding around, you know. And so I would say he was a great man. But when he put pajamas on that team and called them the California Angels and stuck them in that building down there in Anaheim, and for I don't know how many years, 30 years, 30 long years of loneliness, I will tell you...
All right, hold on. We have... hold on. Vernon Dozier is with us. I hate to cut him off, but we've got to get to our break. Vernon Dozier joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk about the Anaheim Angels, possibly maybe even the, I don't know, the... The L.A. Angels, when they get done with this vote that they're about to take in Anaheim, it all has to do with the lease on the team. And his point is very simply this. The small-town name, Anaheim, Green Bay, Brooklyn, it's no good. They need to have big-city names. The Green Bay Packers would be making far more money if they were the Milwaukee Packers. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show here, and a very, very warm welcome to you as we join you every weeknight, Monday through Friday, except for this week. Of course, we had Labor Day, and I was out of town. It was my birthday.
Phil, happy birthday. Did you get my birthday card?
I did not.
That makes sense, because I didn't mail one.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Give me five.
Yeah. All right, enough with the gimme five.
No, I did mail you one, but then I decided... that I would give you one. So there's one in the mail, and there's one that I have for you tonight.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And thank you, Bud and Robert. I got yours. And it's great, and I'm glad to have lived another year. And, you know, let's move on from here. Okay. Even though I have put on 20 extra pounds, I'm pushing 235 now. That really makes me angry. Now, to close out this this hour, we have Vernon Dozier with us. We discuss with Vernon the Anaheim Angels. Now, I know that what you're saying here, I suppose on the surface of this thing, Vernon, should make sense to me when you say that the Anaheim Angels have a small-town name, you know?
Well, all I'm saying is we've got to have a big-city name for this team so that they start to sound like there's something you want to go see. I have, I'm going to tell you something, and I know there's more people than just me. I'm driving a long way to go see the Anaheim Angels, all right? I'm going a long way to go see the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. Where are you going? I'm driving a hell of a long way, and when I get there, I'm watching a team that's called the Anaheim Angels. I find that to be an insult. It grates on me. when I've got a brother-in-law who has come to visit, let's say, from San Francisco. He's got the Giants. He's got the Oakland Athletics. But he's got the San Francisco Giants. Now, Oakland is a... Compared to San Francisco, Oakland's a wide spot in the road. You could spit from one city limit to the next. I mean, what is Oakland? I didn't even know that you could... I didn't even know it was legal to call a team the Oakland anything because it sounds like a place where oil refineries ought to be, but other than that, forget it, you know?
Oakland?
Yes, Oakland. What does that mean, Oakland? I never even heard of the place.
And well, it's a, you know where it is.
I know where it is. What I'm trying to say to you is it don't sound big city. Miami, Chicago, New York, L.A., Houston's pushing it, but okay, we'll throw Houston in there. New Orleans, okay? You know, this is St. Louis, Kansas City. These are big city-sounding names, you know. I think it's pushing me to say Milwaukee, but I'll go ahead and put Milwaukee. Now, maybe Seattle. You start losing me when you start saying places like Jacksonville, Seattle. That ain't big city. No way, no how.
What about Baltimore?
Yeah, what about Baltimore?
Anybody else want to say, yeah, what about Baltimore? I think by virtue of the fact that, babe, I don't care. What I'm trying to say is this. If you want me to spend money, my hard-earned money on season tickets, we've got to call the team what it ought to be called, the Los Angeles Angels. And I believe that that's what it should be called. I don't give a damn where they play. They could play in Phoenix, Arizona. They should be called the Los Angeles Angels.
Well, I mean, you don't mean that literally, do you?
Well, I mean, you know, the Phoenix Angels, I tell you something. I've never been a big fan of the way baseball, football, or any of the other sports expanded. I think they expanded too rapidly, and they expanded into markets that are embarrassing. Take a look at what happened there in Tampa Bay. Their football team, nobody wants to go near that football team. They think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it used to be a football team, and now it's some kind of a crusting skin rash. I mean, that's the way they think of that team. They think about that team as if it's flaking skin. It's not even a football team.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even I have heard of them.
I know you've heard of them because they actually played in a Super Bowl once.
Well, all right, so what do you mean they hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Guess what I said. They despise them. They hate them. They love the Tampa Bay Rays. They love that hockey team they got, the Lightning. But now the Buccaneers are like a running, seeping wound.
All right, enough with these images. I mean, come on.
I'm telling you, you think I'm stretching the truth. I'm not.
Well, I believe that there is an antipathy to the team that you're talking about, Vernon, but I agree with Phil. Some of the references are a little ghoulish.
Well, nonetheless, they don't like that team. Now, that ball club is owned by a family called the Glaziers. G-L-A-Z-E-R.
Be like Deca Glacier.
I didn't say Glacier. I said Glazier. Glazer.
That's to the glacier.
Not a glacier, bud. G-L-A-Z-E-R.
All right.
Anyway, so the Glazer family, well, guess what else they own? The Glazer family owns the Manchester Uniteds. Have you ever heard of them?
Manchester United is a Barclays Premier League football team.
Yeah, well, it's a soccer team is what it is. Barclays. God bless you, Phil. Barclays Premier League, it's a soccer team, okay?
And it's the Manchester, it's Manchester United, not the Manchester Uniteds.
Well, all right, fine. But what I'm saying is, this is an American family that owns this soccer team. And all of the money and resources, do you know how much money that team makes?
The team's worth about $4.5 billion.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. The Manchester United is the most valuable franchise, sports franchise in the world.
Exactly. That means that the Glazer family has got more money than God Almighty. They could buy and sell God. Okay? And you'd think, with the money they've got, that they'd do something to rehabilitate the image of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and do something. And move them out of that town. That's what I think they ought to do. Stick them in a big city and let's rock and roll.
Well, what big cities are left to move a professional football team to? Otherwise, you've got two teams per market.
Well, I mean, what cities are left?
Okay, you going to say L.A.?
Yeah, how about L.A.? What do you mean, what city? L.A. is a perfect place. L.A. is a perfect place. The L.A. Buccaneers, do you know that there used to be an L.A. Buccaneers? Did you know that, Phil?
No, I did not.
Well, there was. I would not recommend calling the Los Angeles Buccaneers because I think they got to lose that name. I think it's tainted. I think there's too much damage has been done. I think that people have identified it with large, gaping, oozing sores, with a skin rash, with a anal cancer.
Oh, come on, will
you? What are you talking about? Are you saying this is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that John Gruden coached?
That's exactly the team I'm talking about. But they have been, they have, I'm telling you, their brand is damaged. And one of the first things that's damaged that brand is that funky, hunky, itsy bitsy, teeny little burg they come from that's run by a bunch of Scientologists. Let's call a spade a spade. That whole area down there is run by L. Ron Hubbard's group. And what they know about football, you could stick in a thimble. All right? So I wouldn't put it past the Scientologists to take over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and turn them into a bunch of. Of Jack Ball, I don't know, man. You know, cats.
All right, well, Vernon, we will look into it, and I thank you very much for your participation on the show tonight.
Well, that's exactly what a guy would say to me if he thought I was nuts and he was trying to get rid of me.
That's right.
I hope you burn.
All right, Vernon Dozier, thank you, Vernon, for your contribution to our program this evening, and we will look into it. I swear on my mother that we'll look into it. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What, bud?
Maybe you swear on your mother.
On my mother's grave. We'll look into it, Vernon. Don't worry about it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show back for a final hour. Don Berman joins us. Bobby Dooley will be with us, too, to talk about being on Jay Moore's show tomorrow morning.